And thanks to, this is already on, introduction of Henry, and it's my honor to speak here. I know this is a Coxeter lecture. Coxeter is a great geometer in a classical sense, so everything he was dealing is a straight line and integers, rational numbers. But today, here Institute this year hosts a special year in geometry. So most of geometry here is pretty transcendental. So I want to say something about the transcendental number theoretic aspects of the transcendental numbers. For number theorists, by definition we study integers, rational numbers, and we also study algebraic numbers if there's no way can be handled in the rational numbers. But in many, many occasions where we are dealing with these transcendental numbers, to be honest, number theory is actually much more nervous about the transcendental numbers. Once there's the transcendental numbers, they're really working very, very hard, trying to figure out, trying to get rid of it. If there's no way to get rid of it, they're trying to make a connection to something else. So that's basically I'm trying to explain a little bit of this thing. I didn't realize that there really are some number theorists in the lecture. I saw everybody's geometer. So now I'm feeling really nervous. Okay. So as I just said that if we think that there's a number theory study, integers, maybe the rational numbers. Then time to time we study algebraic numbers, but even this one we are not really understand that much, except the definition. And then of course, from here, then from a long way to go, you have a complex number. But this thing to do has nothing to do with number theory. It's basically bringing it by analysis. And this probably can think of the geometry, arithmetic. Or maybe this part is really algebra. But actually, it will be much nature. If you think that the non-rational number was appeared, it really comes from geometry, right? You measure the diagonal of the rectangle. So in fact, from this part, at least half of them, it comes from geometry. So, but today, when we started, the geometry, for example, integrating Euler characteristic, the topology, combinatorial topology in particular, this combinatorial topology, right? I mean, of course, by definition, only can produce the rational numbers. And from a geometric prospect point of view, there are also a few parts I want to talk about it. One is the topology, that's only dealing with rational numbers. And inside the geometry, they have two parts. One is the classical, the complex geometry, a Hodge theory, whatever. So we get it appears integral. Then something else, and the new theory, I spent a lot of time study when I was a student, this Arakelov theory. Pretty something else, something called a height. And when I was a student, we didn't spend much time to think about this height, except it's the definition. But it's already pretty deep, if you read the arithmetic remora of Gillet-Soule, already even in the formula, is already some non-trivial numbers appeared. So that's the from a geometric perspective of the numbers. And if you go beyond, you will find that all these numbers is very hard to study, because transcendental number means that there's no pattern when you try to expand it. But if you want to really see a pattern of this number, you have to use some other tools. Something or error theory, or something close to error theory. And the L series has all these three perspectives. And this part, this corresponds to zeta values at a negative integer. So usually you get some rational number, it's not always, but appear there. This is a pretty deep thing for the number theorists. For example, they can study the class numbers, would have a periodic error function. It's actually the major thing in the number theory. And this complex period usually is from the positive, from the zeta values, the positive integers. And the functional equation will give you a comparison of this one and this one, right? So this, so to understand these two actually partly related, if you know the ratio of them, you actually get some functions. So of course there's a gamma function involved, and the RKF, this height usually come from derivative of error functions. So they are more transcendental than usual numbers we know. So that's the third perspective is from the zeta values. So this is the geometry. And of course, I mean, to prove various formula, usually you have two steps. One step is analytic formula. Then that requires you to have a very deep understanding of error function. That's a part of if you have a Lagrange program, for example, you can translate error function to be the harmonic analysis. To a group, you have good representation of error function. And then the other part is the computation from geometry. I would just want to start to all my lecture will trying to get these three different principles. So the first thing you want to do is about a pi. So this is a number we know, it has the longest history, right? I guess at least from as a Chinese, you know, I don't know, the Chinese history, which is called the pi, is quite different, right? I think in the around 480, we already know that a pi is almost like 355113, so it's pretty accurate. 592 is already here, right? So to get this thing actually, and Zhu Chunzhi needs to use a 96-gon polygon to compute that. Square root of pi?
Square root of 10. That's what they learn in elementary school,
just pi. Square root of 10. Really?
Yeah.
Ah, okay. The square root of 10 is easier than pi? I don't know. Okay, so this kind of thing, of course, you can remember. Long, I just said that there's no pattern. The most important is there's no pattern. Right? So this will realize this point. And this means that it's a transcendental number. So the really study of pi, I guess, is after the analysis, the development analysis. So after analysis, then you can write a pi in a pretty good way. So for example, the easiest formula we know is that 1 pi equals 1 minus 1. This is conditional theory. Right? So this is probably already known in 1400, it is listed as the Leibniz formula, but actually much earlier than Leibniz. So prove, I guess everybody knows how to prove that, it's just the tangent inverse, arctangent. One is the integral from 0 to 1, dx 1 plus x squared, right? And of course, this theory is, the convergence is really terrible. It's not fast at all, right? But nevertheless, just give you one formula. It has a pattern, right? At least if you want, if you have time, you still can compute many things. Of course, then I forgot that the Kalkin's definition of a pi will be 0 to 1 dx of square root 1 minus x square is a half of circumference of the circle, unit circle. And they also have a product formula. The product formula is interesting. Actually, I didn't know that before I prepared the lecture. 2 over 1, 2 over 3, and 4 over 3, 4 over 5. Be very careful. Don't cancel this. Don't try to write them in different order. You write different order will be divergent. This ordering is very important. So this one, this is very like you group them in a very, really correct way. So this is called a Wallis formula. The formula is really can be proved easily using. Inverse sign. That I give a proof right now. Which one? Oh, this one, from next one, yeah, sorry. So the proof, this formula is really from this Wallis Euler formula of a pi x equals a product 1 minus x square of n square. You just take x equal to half, you get this formula. And this, of course, is very important. This is also the formula for us to compute the special values zeta function, right? So that's the something we know about the pi. And I guess up to 170-61 is proved by Lambert that pi is irrational. And the until 82 by Linden Mann that pi is transcendental. So this fact is very important because it implies that there's no way to use compass and the ruler to find a circle whose area is equal to the area of the square. So you start with a square, there's no way you can find a circle which has the same area. That's because of this theorem. Yeah, I still, in Columbia, the board outside, the office still receive the proof how to find a circle whose area equal to the unit circle. So that is the early story about the pi. It's pretty good. And I think the really major advance is comes to the Euler. When he was 28 years old, he solved a millennium problem compared with today's problem. He showed that 1 plus 2 square, 3 square, keep going, is a pi square over 6. So that was a conjecture on Bessel. I can imagine that was probably a really hard problem because I read there's some history, a lot of people compute the digit, like 5, 10 digits of this thing. Then Euler finally figured out how to prove that. And this is really a challenging thing. And when he was 30 years old, and he did something even more amazing, he showed that he started the general function. He showed that this infinite product, which is a convergent when real part of S is bigger than 1, I mean, that time there's no complex number. There's something that today we call like an Euler-Riemann function. It has the Euler product. Well, this is just equivalent to fundamental theorem of integers. That unique factorization theorem of integers. But actually, it's a pretty hard theorem. The reason is I try and explain to somebody which has no mathematical background, if you tell them this thing, it's not easy for them to accept. Even the sum is already pretty hard. Even the product, that's really difficult. And this theorem is very important because he bring the arithmetic of primes to the study of analysis. So this is actually really the bone year of the modern number theory. So that the number, I mean, when we say the classical number theory, modern number theory, this is a starting point. The classical number theory, you can only use arithmetic, algebra, study that. Right now, you bring the whole different scope. So for example, by Euler's theorem, you can show that summation 1 over p is a prime, is essentially log summation 1 of n, so that is infinity. So not only show that infinite primes, you actually show that this number, how big this number can be. Then it comes to Riemann. He changed the, he makes the energy continuation that if we write the lambda s defined to be pi negative s over 2 gamma s over 2 z of s, then this function has a meromorphic continuation. Then first we show that it's the meromorphic continuation. And with a simple pole at s equals 1, the residue is 1. The second thing, of course, has a functional equation given by lambda s equals to lambda 1 minus s. So this is a great achievement, but I have to go back to Euler that in that time the complex number was not created yet. He still managed, I mean, by this thing we can compute the negative integers through the positive integers. But you know, when Euler at that time, he still managed to do that. So when Euler was 32 years old, he actually computed all the integers. He computed that zeta 1 minus 2k is inside 2 cross for all k greater than 1. Okay? So that's the interesting thing. But zeta of the 2k, of course, we know the 0 by the function equation. So how Euler did this thing is I just want to show a little bit. I mean, this is always, when I was in Colombia, it's the first lesson Gallagher teaching me how Euler compute the negative numbers, negative integers. So what Euler do is very simple. So make that theory to be a conditional convergence theory. What they do, he write on the QC S to be 1 minus 2 over 2 to the S, I write it this way, times that of S. Okay? In this way, your theories become alternative theories. Become 1s minus 1 of 2s plus 1 of 3s plus 1 of 4s. Right? So this is very nice. So at least you have analytical continuation when real part of S is greater than 0. That's really nice, right? Before it's only convergent to 1, now it's to 0. And he started to compute the negative integers by the following method. So we compute the computer zeta 0. And or maybe it's look like a probability, 1 minus 1 plus 1. Right? QC, I mean, QC 0. No. Zeta 0. If we put S equals 0 inside, you will get a negative 1 here. You will get a 1 minus 1 plus 1 minus 1. Right? if we compute this number as 1, 0, 1, 0, the probability is half, you will get negative 1/2. Of course, this is not whatever argued. And what he argued actually by a different way, he put the new variable here, is the one, is, I mean, x over 1 to the s minus x squared to the s, x cubed through to the s. Then if s is a negative integer, then you will get the x minus 2 to the m x squared plus 3m x cubed. These can be written as x times t to the dx over the standard operator, because it's 2 to the m is raised by 2. So it's x minus x squared plus x cubed. So you will get x d of dx to the m to the power that x of 1 plus x. So that's the way Euler can compute the zeta values at all negative integers. So in this way, you can compute zeta of m. So by setting the x equals 1 in this formula. It's pretty smart, right? Okay. So that's about the zeta values about at the integers and positive and negative because of functional equation. It seems that the zeta values at a negative integer is much easier to compute than positive integer from this method. This actually is true, right? We always think of the positive integer is easy to compute, it's convergent. From this one, you see the actual negative one is much easier to compute. Because if 2 to the m is downstairs, there's no way, you cannot do anything. Right? It's upstairs, you can do something. And so from this formula, for example, you can compute zeta negative 1 equals negative 1 over 12, right? So, and this formula, this value, zeta 1 minus 2k, actually has a lot of geometric and arithmetic application. For arithmetic, I don't want to talk so much because it's related to the class number, Bernoulli number. For geometry, this is equal to the Euler characteristic of the modular stack of curves of genus G. Of curves of genus G, right? So this is proved by Hare and Zagier in 1986, I guess. What? G is genus. Oh yeah, G is K. Right. For example, if G equals 1, we can see how the negative 12 get. When g equals 1, we get the modular stack of curves, right? When modular stack of curves, and then the coarse modular space is M1. M1 is equal to A1, right? So Mg is actually equal to A1 divided by plus minus 1. Because you have the involution x and elliptic curves and plus some cuts plus some the elliptic fixed point. So you remember for elliptic curves, so if you calculate it, if you start everything together, you will end up with this formula. So you will get like a 2 minus 2 times 2g, g equals 0. Of course, equal to half, as I say, because there's a modular stack you count. Minus the cut, the one cut, this is the one. Minus two elliptic points, 1 minus 1/2, 1 minus 1/3. If we did everything together, you get a -1/2, 12. So that's the correct formula. So what about derivative? So this is a hard problem. I mean, usually we don't know how to compute it, but at least I want to show you how to compute zeta prime 0. So we can use, you can either use the Hurwitz zeta formula or use some Euler's method. To use Euler's method, that's whatever you do. You start with the Qc, I write it there. So there's a Qc, the twice of Qc prime of s will be twice log 2 over 2 to the s. Just use the formula directly. Minus twice log 3 the root to the s plus twice log 4 to the s minus 2 log 5 to the s. And this proof was shown to me by my student, because I trying to find out what's the best proof for this computer zeta prime. And then you regroup this thing to make the conversion when s equals 1. So you regroup by this way. You regroup by 2 log 2 over 2 to the s minus log 3 to the root of the s. Then you have one thing left. You have two things left. Then you write twice log 4 to the s minus log 3 to the root of the s minus log 5 to the s. Just keep it this way. So one even number was matched with two odd numbers before and after. After you did everything, you set s before you, I mean, before that formula, if you set s equals 0, it wouldn't be a convergent series. After the regrouping, if you set s to be 0, you will get twice Qc0 equal to the log 2 square 1 times 3, 4 square 3 times 5. But that's the exact formula I wrote before. This is equal to pi over 2. So we are done. So, okay. And Colmes has an explanation of a log of pi over 2. So this way implies the Qc zeta prime of 0 of zeta of 0 equal log of 2 pi. Colmes has explanation in his paper. He said that this actually is should be read as the Fortin's height, because 2 pi is a usual period. It's a logarithmic of a period. 2 pi I is the integration dz over z, z equals 1, right? So this formula can be read as logarithmic of the integral of z equals 1. Of course, this middle one is a period of a variety, some usually called GM. Okay? So it's a variety take a 0 all way. Then it's proved by a few years ago when I read it by just I mentioned that zeta prime of -1, I mean, for this number, we still don't know how to compute, but there is a beautiful formula proved by an Abbott. I will not explain this thing. Minus 1. This thing is very like, almost like Euler, arithmetic Euler characteristic of the modular stack of one, that time is of Z. So something we usually call the arithmetic intersection are Hodge bundles. So, and you view this thing, maybe, I don't know, what about zeta prime of 1 minus 2G? Would that be the same thing? The ALI characteristic in arithmetic equation, some way of modular stack of genus G. Okay, so most of my time is for this Riemann zeta function of the pi. And I want to say that, and, you know, at the end, you see, that when we talk about derivative, you get some new numbers. These new numbers usually has a relation, I mean, in some cases, it's appeared in the arithmetic geometry. You may ask me, what's the second derivative? Then we really don't know. Second derivative probably is very, very, very hard stuff. Okay, so this is the one number pi and the Riemann zeta function. The second thing I want to do is a little bit of generalization about, instead of a computer pi, we know the negative 1 to 1 dx square root 1 minus x squared, right? Then I can do a little bit more. Let's write down omega. I just randomly pick up 1, negative 1 to 1 dx square root minus x4, right? Why not? Right? Tell me what can you say about this number, right? Again, this number is a transcendental. And like a pi, which has a period of this is GM. It's a GM is it's just a plane, take one point away, right? It's just a plane. I mean, GM of the complex point equals C, take a zero away, right? It's just one loop around a zero, and this omega itself. It's at least, I mean, maybe half a period of an elliptic curve. The reason is half because, so this y square, so you have this is a double cover of a complex number. You have two points, negative one and one. You compute half of them. There's another one, is the half bottom half. They have some period. You can get a double of that. One thing which is known to Gauss is the following formula: that summation of m plus n I to the 4k to the power m n is not zero will be inside omega 4k times q cross. Okay, this is very analog to the formula I wrote before, qk equals to pi k times inside the q cross. And this formula, I don't know how Gauss proved that. When I saw this formula from a paper of Gauss, then of course I immediately realized that this thing is nothing else, just something called Eisenstein series evaluated at the I, right? So I try to explain this formula in a different way. So this is actually the consequence of something called a complex CM theory, which I am going to explain. So in fact, look at that curve. You have this y square equals 1 minus x4. You have a lot of, if you write the e here, then the e and the morphism, e is the elliptic curve. The endomorphism of e, elliptic curve means that it's just, you have a groove law, has a few elements. First element, of course, you have a non-trivial element, which is bring x to I times x, y, so bring to Y burn to, just Y, fix Y, or next Y, whatever. So this has this element inside. So this operate, if I write J like this, gets the fourth power exactly one. So this implies that anamorphism of this E Z plus ZI is one elliptic curve with a complex multiplication. What I'm trying to say is a lot of symmetry inside. So then you can see. So this is y squared equal 1 minus x4 if you consider all the complex points. It's like a torus inside here. Okay? So you can, there's a lot of periods inside. So you have dx of y, this is the invariant differential. You can integral of all gamma here for all these is gamma inside h1 e of c of this. The cycle here, all these things together z will give you a lattice. Okay? You just get a sub, this is a subfield of c. You just, it's all lot of integrals. One of them, that omega right there, is one of these integrals. But you have many. So, one thing you can do, you can show that this integral, this L, is actually when omega is inside. It's easy to check, I guess, probably twice the omega times z plus zi. Because this curve has anamorphism by z plus zi, you have one thing inside, that's what you get. So this implies that the summation I write in there, mn not equal 0, 1 of m plus ni there, for k, if I bring everything inside, equals omega to the 4k, almost like that, times rational number, summation of lambda to the 4k to the power, lambda inside L, not equal 0. Okay? So that's what we get, right? But we know that these lambdas, the summation of the lambda 4k, I mean, let's give a name called it g of k, is actually a polynomial of g4, g2, and g3. These are coefficients of Weierstrass equation. Of E. So if we write E, we know the y square equals 1 minus x4. You take a transformation, x goes to 2, x minus 1, x plus 1, y goes to 2, let me see, y, x plus 1, then you will get an equation y square equals 8, x 3 minus 8x plus 8x, right? So we get like a G2, G3 equals 0, G2 is actually the rational number. So this is the proof of that theorem. So somehow, well, this is already known to Gauss. Probably you can compute this exactly. So this is the first connection. So omega, we trying to compute as a period of elliptic curve is actually related to, is measuring, so omega measuring transcendence of the period lattice. of E. So it's always happen in algebra geometry that your curve, your equation your variety has the equation defined with number field, but it appears it will be transcendental. In this case, omega is one of them. Okay, so now I'm trying to, this is the first, just like a pi, omega has many, many connections to the zeta functions. The second thing, connection I want to do is about this thing, chi negative 4. So that's actually the curve we wrote before, 1 minus 1 through to the s plus 1 over 5 s. I mean, the second connection, I want to talk about this thing, minus 1 over 7 to the s. So you only take the Euler series, you only take the other one with alternative sign there. And this is of course the reason I write a chi here, because the chi negative 4 is a character. You can rewrite this one as a product. 1 minus chi p to the s, negative 1. So this chi is a character from set of primes, from integers, whose value at a prime can be written down in a rather simple way. Chi over p equals 1 if p congruent to 1 modulo 4, negative 1 p congruent to 3 modulo 4, 0 if p equal 2. That's the simplest character you can have. And this thing, just like what we have before, we have functional equation. This is called lambda s chi negative 4. And but this function is very different. I mean, it's very similar to Riemann zeta function, but just has different parity. So everything, for example, in Riemann zeta function, we care about the even positive integer. Here, we can only compute error 1 plus 2n chi negative 4 is inside of pi 2n plus 1 times q cross, right? And so everything is similar except the zero. So at the zero, you can compute L zero of chi equals 1/2, and L prime of zero of chi, you want to compute that. This one, we have this one can compute directly by the method. This has two methods, two different ways. You have two different ways to compute it. You compute by two different ways. Which I explain right now. One way is using the similar method as Euler do. And in this one, maybe I use a more professional method to use this Hurwitz formula. Then if you write expand as the x equals 0, you will end up 1/2 minus x plus log gamma x divided by 2 pi s plus o of x squared. That's something we get. So from this one, you will get a formula. L prime of 0 chi negative 4 equals log gamma 1 over 4 divided by twice gamma 3/4, right? So this is basically the computing directly. The second method is more interesting. For this one, you will not get something, just get some gamma function, but straightforward. The second one is you put this zeta function as a constant of Eisenstein series, you apply the Kronecker limit formula, you will get a different formula. Second one by Kronecker limit formula. You will get something, L prime of 0 chi negative 4 divided by L prime L 0 chi negative 4 equals twice log of omega minus log of pi. So this is the second appearance of omega here, exactly the same way as we did, like a pi. But this time, omega appeared as, log omega appears as derivative of L. This is why I said at the beginning, the derivative of L function is always one more transcendence than the omega itself. Of course, I don't know what the definition means, so one more transcendence, right? It just means that it's probably not easily write down as pure as before. Okay, so that's basically explained T-thin. Then I write on the third connection of omega. So the second connection is related to the error function. I'm sorry, I didn't say that. The combination of two formula is usually something called a Chola-Seibel formula. The Chola-Seibel formula basically is a combination of the Kronecker limit formula plus expansion by whole zeta function. I mean, maybe the proof of Chola-Seibel is much more complicated by this way, but this is quite straightforward. So last point I want to say to omega is the connection with L, E, and S. So this E, as I say, the y squared equals 1 minus x. This is the equation here. So I can define L, E of S as a product 1 minus AP, P to the S, plus 1 over P, 2S minus 1 of negative 1, for real part of S greater or equal than 3/2, it's convergent. But now we know it's always convergent. This AP is the E of, I mean the P plus 1 minus FP. So this is the number of solutions of Y squared equals 1 minus 4 modulo P. Okay? So you put the integer X and Y inside, you require they are equal if the difference is divisible by P. Then from Fermat descent, you can show that E of Q, that the model value group is zero. You will not have any rational solution because you put X, Y inside. That's the first lesson of number theory, right? You put it there, if you did the rational solution, you put it here, you get it here, you will get A to the 4 minus B to the 4 equals C squared. So you will not have solution. So this formula is rank 0. So we get a first case of the version of the Bernstein conjecture that says that it just says that the omega itself is almost like is at some constant time the error value E at 1. If I write them clearly, it's C times the product, infinite product of number EFP divided by P. So we get a product formula for this omega. But of course, this formula is a hard formula because this one, you need a computation. Actually, this L series as E is computable by Jacobi sums. It's actually the one, the error function for one head character. So that's the last connection. So omega, just like 2 pi, appeared everywhere in the error function. But this equation I write down there equals relies on Y squared equals 1 minus X4, it just happens that I have no solution. But if you say I will twist a little bit, for example, I twist a little bit, I rather use the D then everything can change. This equation can may have a lot of solutions, and this value can be zero. In particular, if you use d congruent to say 3 module 4 d less than 0, I guess, then what happens is that you can compute something. You can show that L1 ED is 0 because the function equation has a negative sign. So in this case, I guess it's first proved by, I mean, probably in this case, the quadratic twist for CM elliptic curve. It's done before you guys. Or maybe even before Baum-Friedberg. This is a CM elliptic curve. Maybe Sam, you know. Anyway, by at least by work of these two, we know that there's infinitely many d, such as that L1 ED is not zero. No, prime is not zero. Many d. In this case, what's going on is that, so I will not, I can explain tomorrow in more detail. You can find, in this case, find a concrete point, so usually called a Hingenden point, P inside ED of Q, I'm usually called a Hingenden point. And we can show that, in this case, can show that this canonical height of this P times omega, omega D, right? It's not for this thing, is almost like derivative of this one of ED. Then this omega D is a different period. This omega D is the integration of ED to the real numbers, dx of y. I guess you can write it as twice, 0, 1 to infinity, dx square root, x4 minus 1, probably, I don't know, square root of d, d is less than 0, square root of d here. Okay? So that's the thing we get. So you see that this h hat of this n is the height, narrowing to the height of p, e of d. So this is another, usually another transcendental number we need to explain. And so I have a few more minutes. Then tomorrow my lecture will explain this Kronecker limit formula, and this formula is called the Gonzaga formula. So tomorrow, before I finish, just to say, tomorrow I'm going to explain, I will get more details on the Gonzaga plus Kronecker limit. And Charla Seba, whatever. So bottom line, when computed at height of P and omega hat, and the period of elliptic curve, dy of x is related to the derivative of this thing, whatever. So, and I think the Wednesday, I will study a different thing. I don't have time to explain that. Something called Gauss-Schoen cycle. So this is a high dimensional cycles for the height and the conjecture of growth and the Kudela and its identity relation with the height. The height of Kc something to do with the L prime of S through module form. So the common feature, I just explained that it seems to me that in the study of error functions, if we think this is the central topic, the rational number part, right, of course, is related to the positive negative integer. Is a standard algebra number theory. The transcendental part, you have two different transcendental parts. One is the regulator, one is the period. The period part, of course, is related to Hodge theory. This regulator part somehow is much deeper. You know, it's a much harder thing. That's something comes from the computation of Hodge pairing. So, we have some formula, but we don't have a general conjecture, a general strategy, how to compute these numbers. So every time we compute one number, you invent the tons of different new ideas. But this is a new idea. Sometimes usually half of them is in the geometry, half of them is actually in the analysis. I mean the theory of automorphic forms depends how much we understand the error function itself. Okay, so I guess I'll stop here today.